As a lot of you know, we go through the steps, and we go through the steps according to the month that we're in. And this is the fifth month, Mayday, and May 1st, and that's the fifth step. So we're going to be talking about that. Now, I think for me personally, the fifth step is by far and away the most exciting, most enlightening step that there is, because it aligns itself with the greatest truth the Bible has ever told. Oh, look at that. So let's take a step forward here. I think after all this time I would get it right. Turn it on. As soon as I turn it on. I was just checking to see if my backup was here. There we go. So I'm not sure how many of you came into the room with your lives completely together, your car payments up to speed, your insurance, your driver's licenses. Yeah. Right here, Dennis in the back. Okay, he's got that. Well, most of us, when we got here into the rooms, we were full of shame. We were probably beating ourselves up more than anybody could beat us up between our ears. And certainly all of us, for the most part, had secrets. Some of these secrets were so bad, we weren't going to tell anybody and take them with the grave with us. That's how bad those secrets were. I cannot tell another human being, right? So we have to remind ourselves that when we get to step five, some things have happened to us if we've worked our program properly with a sponsor. We've been reintroduced to a power greater than ourselves. If you're in this Christian community, by now you should have a really, really great beginning relationship with Jesus Christ. You accomplish that in step three. I know with my sponsees, as I have been sponsored, I'm on my knees with them, and we're doing the third step prayer. And after that, we know that we have accepted and that our minds are now honest, open, and willing to move into the fourth step. And here we are in the fourth step, and we have done so much work in the fourth step, grappling with resentment, anger, grappling with fear, struggling with the sex acts that we have performed and worked with others with. And I mean, we've named it all. And hopefully, we've named all our secrets. Now, some of us in step five may not write those secrets down, but they will, with their sponsor, confess them. See, that's what step five is all about. It's a cleansing. Now, because we're open to all knowledge, I want to let you know what the psychiatric community and the psychiatric value of confession is. And as it's listed up here, confession contributes to a well-being of our mind. Well-being of our mind. I mean, we've literally taken our mind and stretched it like Play-Doh, and folded it and mended it and mutilated it and burned it and scorched it and drank it and embalmed it. And here we are now in step five, and we've got some semblance of sobriety. We've got some time. And now our mind is waking up. We've put blind faith and trust that our Savior's with us, our higher power. But as we look at John 20, and I don't know if you guys have your Bibles out there with you, but I'm going to give you some John 20 here. And this is John chapter 20, verse 19 through 23. Folks, I got to tell you, tonight is all about the good news, the best news you could ever possibly want to have. If you're breathing, this is the best news you're ever going to get in your life, okay? And it goes like this. Chapter 20, John, verses 19 through 22. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. This is when Christ appears to the disciples after he's been crucified. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and in his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Right here, confession is an instruction from our Savior. This is huge because peace of mind comes by knowing the truth. If you know the truth, then you can rest easy. Peace of the heart is an experience of doing the will of God. When we are of service to each other, when we are of service to others, we are doing God's work. We are His instrument here. And there's a certain satisfaction that comes with that, a kind of satisfaction that you can't buy. It has to be an action. So if we look at the... If we look at the spiritual value of confession, this is what we're going to realize out of it. Self-knowledge is increased. It's increased because we've given up information and facts about what we've done. Bad habits are corrected. We're not doing that anymore. I don't know about you guys, but after I went through my fifth step first time, I didn't behave like that to others anymore. It was broken. Our conscience is purified. You know when you confess something to someone that you did wrong and they forgive you, you don't have to think about it anymore. The slate is clean. The scale is even. The will, our personal will, is fortified and strengthened because we are telling the truth. We are walking in the light of God's truth. God knows it. The person I just offended and made amends to understands that. I understand that. I'm not hiding anymore. So solitary self-control is attained. And we become more conformed to Jesus Christ. I had no idea when I was sitting with my sponsor in the middle of an aviary in Alviso that I was drawing closer and conforming myself more to Christ, because I was giving up all of my sins, all of my wrongs, and most importantly, my secret. And in doing so, we become more submissive to the Holy Spirit. That nod. You guys get that nod. I know you do. There are times when you're out there and something's come over you, overwhelming, it's compelling you to attend to the need of another. And you might not even know him or her. You'll walk and you'll see someone on a park bench. And you know that that person is looking pretty desperate. And maybe you go sit next to him and you don't say a word. You just sit next to him. And you pray silently for this person. And maybe when that person asks you what you're doing, you can look at them with all the sincerity in your heart and say, "Brother, I'm praying for you because you're looking down right now." And a lot of times, if you've done this, the natural response that you're going to get is, man, nobody's ever prayed for me before. I don't know what to tell you. Look, too far, heavy on that. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. Guess where we're going? Okay, are you backwards or are you forwards? We're going to go to confess. All right, so you've seen the entire preview of the slideshow here. So let's keep going. There we go. Ta-da! So we're going to go to confession or confess. So the acronym for confess, concur with God and be cleansed. Open ourselves to good orderly direction. No more guilt and condemnation. Face the truth and find relief. Ease the pain by uncovering the shame. Stop blaming. and begin to take responsibility. Own your stuff. And start accepting God's forgiveness. And that's last for a reason. So here we go. All right, C. So confess means to agree with, and in this case, God, that what is wrong, guilty as charged. I did it. I wrecked my buddy's car. I haven't seen him in 2 years, but I wrecked his car. I ran away from it. I did it. I'm owning my stuff now. And yet we should also be in agreement that we are eternally forgiven by Christ. Confession is a way for us to experience forgiveness, not as a means for us to obtain it. Okay? And it gives us 1 John 1:9. So if you're in your book, we can go on over there. And it says, verse 9, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Cleanse us from all wickedness. And if we go back to the day, you know, you hear stories about the lepers. And back then, it was a filthy world. I mean, I'm just talking about health filthy. I'm not talking about moral filthy, although it was there. I'm talking about people to be cleansed is almost miraculous for people to realize a clean body. And here we are promised right here. If we claim and accept his forgiveness, we are cleansed. All right. So O is for opened ourselves to good orderly direction. Step 5 sums up God's direction in confessing sins. First, we admit to God and to ourselves the exact nature of our wrongs. Each one of you shall give an accounting of himself to God. And that's mentioned right there in Romans 14:12. Then we are instructed to confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. How many of us have sat in a place where I'll confess my sin to God, but that's about as far as I'm taking it? I'm not going to tell another human being what that is. I'm not going to do that. Here we are in the light of James 1:16. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. So that you may be healed. Which means what? Chris, you're not healed. You're as miserable between your ears as when you got here. You are as suffering. It's on you. Clearly it says here, if I confess to another, that I'll be healed. The point is, how many of us choose not to? We're telling you here, it's the way through that door. It's the way through that door, and all you have to do is cross the threshold. Con. I'm not talking about Sing Sing or Alcatraz, okay? I'm talking about no more guilt or condemnation. Okay. We are bound to feel guilty when we recognize how deep our disease runs and how attached we are to it. Uh-huh. This can be a healthy form of guilt, for it can be the beginning of repentance. All right, I know I'm hooked. I don't want to be hooked anymore. I know I'm hooked. Confession allows us to move on from our rearview mirror way of living. Okay, how many of you guys have had the proper buzz to drive your car through the rearview mirror? Just to see if you could do it. Yep. I did. I, you know, come on. Spooky as that. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We go to Romans 8:1. Okay? Romans 8:1. And it says in chapter 8, verse 1, So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. If you guys all belong to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the book says there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. I'm feeling pretty good right now. You know, I'm feeling pretty good. And perusing through this, this book is amazing. This book is amazing. Let's go to Isaiah 54, okay? Just in case you're curious. For me, I was just really curious. This is very powerful. This is very powerful, very powerful. Here we go. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 4 through 8. Fear not. You will no longer live in shame. Do not be afraid. There is no more disgrace for you. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth and the sorrows of widowhood. For your Creator will be your husband. The Lord of the heavens of armies is his name. He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you back from your grief, as though you were a young wife abandoned by her husband, says your God. For a brief moment, I abandon you, but with great compassion, I will take you back. In a burst of anger, I turn my face away for a little while, but with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. I will have compassion on you. We are talking about the God of eternity, of everlasting life. A God so large, so huge. And he is the one who is offering you to come home. He is the one who is offering you everlasting love and compassion. If it's in this book, it's a fact. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling a lot better. We can take a quick jog over on when it comes to confession. The F stands for truth and finding relief. 1 John 8:1, we just read that. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's at the very end of that particular. That way. There you go. Confession allows the light of God's truth to touch us in that place where we are most vulnerable. We need not hide any longer. Remember, when we first started our adventure with this, I spoke to you about the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it just wasn't conjured up by Bill Wilson and a committee of people. It was extracted from the Bible. And so here we are going over to Psalm 107 in the middle of the book. And this is what it says on verse 13 and 14. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He led them from darkness and deepest gloom. He snapped their chains. Just as Brother Grandpa was telling us about chains and snapping them. It's coming down. It's happened. It's done. If we go to E, ease the pain by uncovering the shame. I've told you guys about guilt and shame before. Shame is where we particularly feel there's something wrong with us. There's something intuitively, bodily, mentally, physically, spiritually wrong with us. We were born that way. Guilt is more a punitive type of thing where you've committed an act and it was wrong and you're guilty of committing that act. The point we bring up in ease and uncovering the shame is we are only as sick as our secrets. But when we share them, we begin to divide the pain and the shame. That's why we have sponsors. Hey, sponsor, this is what I did. I'm feeling pretty miserable about it, but you know, I'm pretty shameful over it, really, because it was a despicable thing I did. I go, okay, I'll agree with you. But I did this. It's not one way. It's bidirectional. I share with my sponsees everything they share with me. And sometimes they look at me and they're really wondering if I should be their sponsor anymore because of that. But I look at them back and I say, all of that's been forgiven. It's been forgiven, and I've got a couple of books, and the most important book, to tell me that it has. Because without that spiritual experience, we will be doomed to repeat over and over and over and over again. If we go to Psalm 32, Psalm 32, and we go to verses 3 through 5 in your Bibles, David breaks it out pretty clearly, and he says this in verse 3. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. Now, a lot of us come from a background where we think discipline is getting physically punished, to put it simply, for an act that we did, something that we did wrong. Well, if we look at the context of where David's coming from right here, he's done some pretty nasty things. Some adultery, a little murder, and he's racked up. He's completely racked up. Why is he racked up? He's racked up because he knows he's in front of the Most High God doing this stuff, and he can't hide from that. Oh, he can masquerade and disguise and shuttle and get in a back shadow someplace and avoid those that would confront him and hold him accountable. He can avoid all that, but he can't avoid the most sovereign God. And so between his ears is miserable. I refused to confess my sin. How many of us get to step five and we refuse to confess our sin? I did. It took me some rounds to get to the real deal. I refused. It doesn't say God won't forgive. It doesn't say you've done something so bad that No, we don't get that at all. It's on us. It's on us. And it goes on to say, my strength, in verse 4, evaporated like water in the summer heat. Verse 5, finally I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And you forgave me! Exclamation point. You don't see that in Scripture very often. When you get the big exclamation point, he is screaming, he is wailing at the top of his voice. And my guilt is gone. And my guilt, it says, is gone. I can't do that unto myself. I don't have the power to do that. I do not have the power to do that. I have the power to groan and waste away and destroy my body and do countless other human stupid functions. But forgiving, all my guilt is gone, that has to be an acceptance issue when it comes from the Word, when it comes from what we're doing in recovery. S, the first S in confess. Stop blaming and begin to take responsibility. Jesus says this in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. Do not judge, lest you be judged. And why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? First, take the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. How quick are we? Inventory. Anyone? 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 Inventory? People? Come on now. My sponsor breaks the news to me. Chris, you know, you got a judgment issue. You judge everybody. Like, right now, I haven't heard a word out of their mouth, and you've already judged them. You've already sized them up. You know, you have really, we're going to work on that, he says. Get out your pen and paper. Here we go. You know. So stop blaming and take responsibility. And here's the best part. The last S is start accepting God's forgiveness. Start accepting God's forgiveness. I was in a situation where I asked for forgiveness. And that person chose not to forgive me. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how much money you give me. I'm never going to forgive you. I am never, ever going to forgive you. And to prove that, this person pulled a list out of everything that I had done wrong for the last 18 years that I knew this person. She was ready at that time to list every infraction that I had ever done with her. I will never forgive you. The assumption on this person's part was they had power. The massive assumption on this was that this person had power over me and that I would fritter away because this person wouldn't forgive me. Now, that was a couple decades ago. And I'm with you guys today. I'm in front of you guys, sharing the word, telling you the program works and Jesus loves you unconditionally. I do too. Everybody in this room does. I haven't heard from that person in a long, long time. And what people tell me about this person is this person's very, very sad and has a very, very sad life. Along the lines of what David was talking about, the groaning and the pain. One of the greatest joys at the heart can experience is forgiveness. Nothing else can set us free from the guilt of the past and place our feet on a new path of hope. The chalkboard's been erased. The path is clear. The shoes are good. We are healthy. Our forgiveness is based solely on the sacrifice Christ made on the cross. There's nothing more to do. He's done it. As far as the east is from the west, it says in Psalm 103, verse 12, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Come on, some of these gotta be giving you some flight, folks. You should be walking on air with news like this. Step five was pivotal for me because I gave my secret up. And I gave it to my sponsor because after all the work that we had done together on steps 1 through 4 and how we had talked about step 5 and how I had given my third step 3 different times, he took me to that place in El Viso, in that aviary, and it was beautiful and it was calm and the blue herons were out and the white cranes were standing there. And a light breeze was going over. And he said, before we start this whole thing, because I had my paperwork in front of me, he says, do you trust me enough to give me your secret? And I don't know what it is about being in a setting that is calm and tranquil and peaceful. I don't know what it is about saying the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer. I don't know what it is about that looking into another man's eyes. Men that I was in great fear of. And I said, yeah, I'll give you my secret. And I gave it to him. He didn't run scalded, like a scalded dog, out the door. He didn't laugh. He didn't throw his hand over his mouth and vomit all over the table that we were sitting at, you know, or gasp. No, that wasn't it. he just looked at me and his eyes got wet. And then he gave me his secret. He says, "It's an honor to be your sponsor, and thank you for trusting me. But I have to tell you, I'm saying a prayer right now that helps me forget what you told me. Because I can't carry that. I don't want to carry that. God can carry that. I can't." And when I left and walked away, it was just like the old timer said. It's just like guys that had gone through the process. I was so much lighter. All that guilt, all that shame, all that stuff. I had no idea all that traffic was preventing me from a relationship with my higher power. It was preventing me from a one-on-one with God to pony up and come alongside my Savior. That's what all that traffic between my ears was preventing me from having. And since that day, I have never looked back. I have never looked back. And I thank and I pray for him who heard me. And I have never heard it back, ever. It's a sacred trust. And the steps are in a cadence for a reason. So if we're carrying around stuff, if we're carrying around secrets, it's not because your loving God doesn't want you to give it up. And has promised you in more than a half a dozen ways that you are forgiven, you are cleansed, you are purified, you are free, you are loved, more deeply loved than anything. And so my prayer for everyone here, or those that need to hear it, is please get together with somebody, any of us, guys to guys, gals to gals. But let's get rid of that stuff. Let's do some cleansing. Let's go through the car wash of spirituality here and just get rid of that stuff and throw a high buff on honesty and a clean chalkboard. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So we got a little time left. And so step five, if you did take step five, if you have in the past, why don't you come on up here and share with us what it was like when you got through it and how it has enhanced your relationship and your spirituality and your relationship with the Most High God. Or you can talk about, have you shared your secrets yet?